action. Help us, Lord, to be able to focus and be alert, give our attention completely to the Word of God during this time. And attend to our hearts, Lord, that we'll receive it. And most of all, help us to be doers of your Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Lord, we love you. And most of all, we thank you for loving us when we are so unlovely. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text we just read, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, is one I have preached from several times in the more than 25 years that I've been in the ministry. And on far more than one occasion in my own personal life, I have experienced what Paul calls the comfort of the Scriptures from this passage. And because of the many different problems that people within our congregation are experiencing, I want us to once again examine the truth that Paul presents in these verses. And I do hope and pray that the message will be an encouragement, will be a blessing. I hope and pray that it'll help those of us who are having problems to go to a new level, maybe a level like we've never gone before in our own personal relationships with the Lord. That is my desire. But before I go any further, I want to preface what I'm going to say by pointing out that the main truth I'm going to draw out isn't going to sit well with our flesh. You need to understand that up front. It's not going to sit well with our flesh. In fact, this truth runs completely contrary to what 99.9% of us desire for any problem that we might have in our lives. So this truth today is not going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. If that's what you came for today, I hate to disappoint you, but it's not going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy. Now, there are a lot of truths in the Bible that will make you feel warm and fuzzy. A lot of them will make you want to shout the victory and hang from the chandeliers. They'll give you great joy and jubilation, but some of them won't. Some of them, like the one we're going to look at today, run against the grain. And they're oftentimes very difficult to accept. They kind of want to get hung in our craw, as we like to say down south. But here's the thing you and I need to understand. These truths that I'm talking about and the one I'm going to deal with today are just as true and just as important as any other truth you'll find in the Word of God. So I hope all of us today will give our undivided attention to the Word of God. And I give you my word. I'm giving you my word, and my word is based on the Scripture. But I give you my word that if you and I will accept the truth that we're going to look at today in the Bible, we will actually begin to see our problem or our problems as a blessing rather than a burden. And that's what I hope for us all. Now, I want us to look together at these verses again, and to help us understand what I think the Lord wants us to see, there's four main points that I'm going to give you. First of all, I want you to look at verse number 7. In verse number 7, we have what I call Paul's problem, and this is an outline that I have used in the past, but I want you to look at verse 7 and notice here Paul's problem. In verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Paul described his problem as a thorn in the flesh. And any of you in here that have ever had a thorn in your flesh understand how irritating that is, how painful it can be, how much it can actually distract you and cause your attention to be focused on it rather than where you would like for it to be focused. You understand that it can, in some cases, be a tremendous hindrance in your life. And that's what Paul calls his problem, a thorn in the flesh. So obviously, it was something very painful to the Apostle Paul, something that bothered him very much. And I want you to notice he goes on to say that this thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. That's what he says. He says, this thorn is the messenger of Satan to buffet me. To buffet means to strike repeatedly, to hit something again and again and again. So Paul says, this thing is being used by the devil to beat me up, or you might say to beat me down. But I want you to look at something else in the verse. Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Notice the wording. There was given to me. You know what he's telling us? He's telling us that this thorn in the flesh, his problem, was a gift. It was given to him. This is not something that Paul asked for. He didn't ask for this. It wasn't something that he brought on himself. It was a gift. It was given to him. Either it was given to him by the devil or it was given to him by the Lord. But in either case, you have to understand, God allowed it. Y'all following what I'm saying? There is nothing that comes into our life, even if it's the devil that gives it to us, nothing comes into our life that is not allowed by the Lord. Everything. He says, this thing was given to me. Now, why in the world would God allow one of his greatest servants at the time and probably ever to be given a thorn in the flesh? Why would God allow that? You would think that God would protect and preserve one of his choicest servants from any type of problem that might be a distraction or a hindrance to him. Why would God do that? Well, look at what the verse says. Paul tells us two times in the verse why he was given this thorn in the flesh. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Paul had been given an abundance of revelations. That's what he says. You read about this back up in the earlier verses of this chapter. Paul, in fact, was given revelations like no man prior to him had ever been given. God revealed some things to Paul that he had not revealed to any man before the Apostle Paul. He had received an abundance of revelations. And he says in that verse, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Notice he goes on to say, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Two times. You know what God understood? God knows human nature. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? And he knows the tendency that lies within every human heart, irregardless of how spiritual they might be. And that tendency is to get puffed up. That tendency is to get an inflated ego, to exalt ourselves in our mind beyond measure, to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That is the tendency within every human heart. Every one of us in here has the capability to get arrogant and prideful and to think more of ourselves than we ought to think. And this is something that is especially dangerous when we start experiencing things that we feel like sets us apart from other people. When we begin to have experiences that we think are unique to us, that are different from what other people have had, then we tend to get an elevated opinion of ourselves. And that's always a bad thing. Y'all understand that this morning? Anytime you begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's not a good thing. It's a problem. So what did God do to the Apostle Paul? Or what did he allow to be done? He allowed Paul to be given a thorn in the flesh so that he would not be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations he had received. He knew there was the tendency there for Paul to maybe begin to think a little more of himself than he needed to. So he gets this thorn given to him. That's why the Lord allowed it. Yeah, the devil used it to beat him down or to beat him up, however how you want to say it. But you know what God did with it? He used it to better the Apostle Paul. Different perspectives, different ways of looking at it. God used it to make him better. The devil used it to beat him up. And I can't tell you this morning what Paul's thorn was. The Bible doesn't say what Paul's thorn was. I have heard all sorts of speculations through the years. And I guess if I had to speculate, can I speculate for just a moment? If I had to speculate, I would say it was eye trouble. And the reason why I would say that is because of a passage over in the book of Galatians chapter 4 where Paul very definitely talks about having a temptation in his flesh, and he goes on to explain that that temptation in his flesh was problems with his eyes. Now, I don't know for sure. I'm just speculating, you understand? But here's the thing. Whatever it was a problem. Whatever it was painful. Whatever it was to some extent a distraction. It was something that bothered Paul badly. But the thing I want you to understand is that this thorn was given to him. I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you understand that whatever your problem is today, and I don't know, I know some of the problems that people within our church are having, that's just part of pastoring and being close to the people in your congregation. So I understand some of the problem, but whatever your problem is, I want you this morning, if you can, to understand that that problem was given to you. It is a gift from God to you. Do y'all understand that? That's why I told you in the beginning this thing is going to run a little bit contrary to how we think. Not going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy. What would probably make you feel good is if I stood up here and preached like some preachers and told you that once you got saved, God doesn't ever want you to have problems anymore. That everything in your life is just going to be rosy and there'll never be any more problems, any more trials, any more persecutions, any more infirmities. Everything's just going to be great and grand and glorious once you get saved. But those of you that have lived for any amount of time would know right off the bat that I'm nothing but a liar if I tell you that. Because that's not reality. Reality is that we have problems. And most of the time we get the mindset or the attitude, this problem is a bad thing. And how many of you before this service right now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you before this service right now ever thought, hey, this problem was a gift given to me? That's what we just read, wasn't it? Paul said this thing was given to me. It was a gift given to him, not to hurt him, but to make him better. That's the thing you need to understand. But here's the second thing. Let's move on. Verse number 8. Not only Paul's problem, but Paul's prayer. Verse number 8, Paul says, for this thing, whatever that thing was, this thing I besought the Lord. Besought's a past tense of the word beseech. Beseech is, as I've told you before, is a strong word. It's not just, you know, a casual asking for something. When you beseech somebody, you're being very earnest. You're being very fervent in what you're asking. It's almost to the point of begging for something. Paul says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Y'all know what thrice is? Just three times. Three specific times Paul went to the Lord. He said, I besought the Lord thrice, look at it now, that it might depart from me. You know what he's praying? He's saying, Lord, take this thing away. Let it depart. Let it go somewhere else. I don't want this anymore, Lord. I don't want it. I didn't want it when you gave it to me or allowed me to have it, and I don't want it now. Just let it go somewhere else. I don't want it, Lord. Three times, and he's being very earnest, which shows me that the thing was a serious problem. Because Paul wasn't one of these, can I just say it? He wasn't one of these effeminate, sissified men like you see our world full of today. Paul was a man's man. A man's man that lived like a man and acted like a man and told other people to act like a man. And for him to get to the point where something is bothering him so badly that he would beg God to take it away shows me this was a serious deal here. This wasn't some little trivial thing like he had a, you know, an ingrown toenail or something. This real deal here. And he's begging God and he's praying three times at least. He specifically said, Lord, let it depart. I don't want it anymore. Get rid of it. Now, is it that? What, about 99.9%? Maybe you could probably go on and just say 100%, but at least 99.9% of us won't for any problem that we have. Let's be real about it, right? When you have a problem, especially if it's something really serious, if it's something really bad, some type of infirmity in your flesh especially, that's painful and irritating and could potentially threaten your existence on this earth, what is it that you want? You want it gone. And that's what you pray, and that's what we ask other people to pray, right? When we come to prayer meeting or we put it on Facebook or whatever we choose to use, we get the word out. Lord, please help this thing go away. Heal me. Help it to go away, Lord. I don't want it anymore. That's what we desire. That's what Paul desired. And I'm not telling you that it's wrong to do that. I can promise you if I get sick, I'm going to ask God to make me better. And I'm not telling you it's wrong to do that. I believe it's all right. The Bible says, let your request be made known unto God. Isn't that what it says? Let your request be made known. So it's perfectly all right for me or you or anyone to go to the Lord with a problem and say, Lord, let this thing depart from me. That's what Paul did. But guess what? Here's the thing you're going to have to accept. And this is, it's hard stuff right here. Here's what you're going to have to understand and what you're going to have to accept. You're going to have to accept that he might let it depart. And he might not. All of us in here today know people that have had some kind of problem, some kind of sickness, infirmity, whatever. And they requested prayer, and we prayed, they prayed, other folks prayed, and today they're whole and they're healthy. Amen. We know that. We've seen it time and again where God reached into that situation and took whatever that problem was away. We've seen it. But how many of us in here can say honestly this morning we've seen situations where people prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't take the problem away? That's reality, isn't it? It's reality. And the thing you and I have to understand, anytime we have a problem and we're praying for God to take that thing away and we're getting other people to pray for God to take it away, he might take it away, but he may not. He may leave it with you for the rest of your life. You may have to live the rest of your time on this earth with that thorn in the flesh. I don't find anywhere that God took Paul's thorn away from him. Nowhere. But you know what God did? He made him a promise. And that's the third thing I want you to see here. Paul's problem, Paul's prayer, but then Paul's promise, and I don't mean a promise that Paul made, I mean a promise that God made to Paul. He didn't take the thing away, but this is what he said, verse 9. And he, who's the he? The Lord. Because he just said, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he, the Lord. Now, I have a red letter edition Bible. The Lord's response here is in red. You know who said that? Jesus said that, right? When it shows up in red, that means Jesus said that. And just as a side note, does that tell you who Jesus is? Because he said, I besought the Lord thrice. And then he says, he, the Lord, said unto me, and he quotes what Jesus said. Jesus, he wasn't just a man. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the promise that Jesus made to Paul. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Lord, let it depart. Lord, let it depart. Lord, let it depart. And this is what he got. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know what the word sufficient means? It means all you need. All you need. How many of you understand this morning? In reality, all you need is His grace. That's all you need. For whatever kind of problem you have. If the Lord chooses to leave the thorn, then this is what He will do. He will give you His grace. His grace, His unmerited, undeserved favor will be demonstrated and poured out in your life, and it will be sufficient to help you continue to live and exist even with a thorn in the flesh. I know Paul did. I think about Paul when you read 2 Timothy, gets down there at the end of his life, and he says, I have fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And he said, I just about finished. I finished my course. You know, he finished that thing with a thorn in his flesh. After it was given to him, it never left him. He had a thorn the rest of his life. But at the end, he could say, I finished my course. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God's grace was sufficient for him. It got him through. And here's why. Look at verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Why? For my strength. One way that God shows His grace or demonstrates His grace in a person's life is by giving them His strength. See, grace is unmerited favor. And favor can come in many forms. It comes however God chooses to give it. And in this case, it's His strength in a person's life. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now we're getting down to where I wanted to go. For my strength is made perfect. Not perfect like, you know, we think without any error, sinless. The word perfect oftentimes in the Bible refers to something that is completed, something that's whole, something that's full. It's reached its capacity, you might say. But what does the Lord say here? He says, my strength is made perfect in strength. Is that what He says? What does He say? My strength is made perfect in weakness. That is, you experience His strength to the fullest. Are y'all listening to me? His strength is made perfect in weakness. You and I experience His strength to the fullest. We get the full effect of His strength in our lives, not when we are strong and healthy and have no issues, but at those times in our lives when we're in weakness. Y'all understand that? That's when you experience His strength like no other. When you get it, you get the full effect of it. When you're in that state of weakness in your life. This caused Paul to have a completely different perspective about his problem. And that's the last thing that I want you to look at. In the last part of verse 9 and in verse 10, you get Paul's perspective. And what I see is a change in perspective as I go through this. In the beginning, he gets the thorn, and I don't know how long he had it before he started praying earnestly for God to let it depart. I don't know. I don't know how much time elapsed there. But he gets that thing, and then at some point, it gets so bad and so severe that he begins to pray, Lord, let it depart, let it depart, let it depart. Well, the Lord doesn't let it depart, but he says, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And right there, Paul had a complete change in his perspective. And here's the thing now. I don't see, and maybe y'all can find it. I've read the whole book, and I can't find it. I can't find where Paul ever prayed one more time for that thorn to depart. He never prayed about it again. If he did, there is no record in the Bible of it. Once God said, my grace is all you need, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you my strength like I've never shown it to you before while you're weak, Paul said, all right, I can live with that. His perspective completely changed about that problem he had in his life. He didn't bemoan the problem. He didn't let the problem make him bitter. He didn't get angry and shake his fist at God. Why would you do this to me? He certainly didn't sit and quit, what you see a lot of people do when they have a problem. Y'all know what I mean? People going along and they get a problem and they want to sit down on God and quit on God. Paul just kept on going. He had a completely different perspective here. Look at this here. Verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, when you see the word therefore, you go back and see what it's there for, right? Therefore, most gladly, therefore, because your grace is sufficient, because your strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what he did? From that point on, he embraced his thorn is what he did. He embraced it. He said, most gladly, therefore. Will I rather glory? Look at the word. Will I rather? That is, I'm going to glory rather than something else. You have a problem. You have problems. You prayed about it. The Lord hadn't taken it away. You have a choice to make. You can either embrace that thorn and have a good attitude and see the power of Christ in your life like you've never seen it before. Or you can allow that thing to make you bitter and cold and backslidden in your heart. The choice is yours. The perspective you take is up to you. But Paul, when he got that promise, he reached out and embraced it and said, look, Lord, I'm just going to be happy about this thing. I mean, isn't that what he said? Most gladly will I rather glory. Look at verse 10 if you still have a question about it. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? Look at it. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what meant more to Paul than him getting rid of the thorn? This is what I'm trying to tell you here. What meant more to Paul than getting rid of the problem was being able to see and experience the Lord working in his life like never before. That's what meant more to him. Now, what means more to you? Would you rather, think about it now, would you rather have God take it away and then you just kind of go on living the same old menial Christian existence that you have maybe for years and years and years? Or would you rather the Lord leave it and you have an experience with him like you've never had before? What would you rather have? Because his strength, listen to me, what I'm trying to tell you is you can't have it both ways. I can't have it both ways. We cannot, if I'm reading what I'm seeing here, I can't have it both ways. I cannot have a life free of problems and experience the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to its fullest extent. I cannot have that. If I'm going to experience his favor and his strength in a way that just blows my mind, see God work in my life and do for me what I can't do for myself, if I'm going to see that and experience that, I'm going to have some problems along the way. I'm going to have to get in those positions of weakness and vulnerability in my life. It's going to have to happen or I will not experience that. I'm telling you, I have seen through these years, I have met so many different people through the years. One thing that I am grateful for, one of the blessings of being in the ministry, is all the different people that you get to meet, the preachers, the missionaries, the evangelists, so many folks, servants of God all over, all shapes and sizes, colors, just meet them all over. And I will tell you this, the ones that have had the touch of God, you don't have to believe what I'm just telling you, the ones that have had the touch of God on them more than any of the others, and that you could see the power of God in their life like all, more than any other, was the ones that had problems. Those are the ones. When you get to that point of weakness where you just have to throw yourself on His grace, man, you'll see God do something in your life like you've never seen before. And you might think that I don't understand what I'm talking about. How could I have a problem? Well, I've had one or two here or there. May not have had problems like some folks in the world, but I will tell you this. I live every single day of my life with horrible sinus trouble. Every day of my life. Not seasonal, not every once in a while. I've had two different ENTs look me in my face and tell me that I had the worst sinuses I'd ever seen in a human being. One of them even told me that most people would be bedridden that had sinus problems like you have. He asked me when he saw I was a pastor, how do you function every day? You know what I told him? What I believe. The grace and the power of God. Two different sinus surgeries. Every day of my life almost, I wake up with a sinus headache. I blow my nose 30 or 40 times every day. I have horrible allergies. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you all about it. And you know what I've done? I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed in the past that God take that away from me. I've went to doctors. I've tried every medicine. I've blowed stuff up my nose that doctors prescribed me. I have had, I don't know the people that come with these home remedies. Preacher, if you'll get some of that local honey and put some of that apple cider vinegar in there, it'll take away all them sinus problems. Well, I did that. It'll take your breath away, I guarantee you that. Not one time has God ever allowed me to be delivered from that. And I have prayed and prayed and prayed for God to take it away, but I'm going to tell you what I did. Some years ago, I stopped praying. I no longer ask God to take away my sinus problems. I haven't prayed about that, and I don't even know when. I don't do it because I have accepted He's not going to do it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rest on this promise right here that His grace is going to be sufficient for me. And I tell you what, it's sort of hard to get it out, but I'd rather live every day for the rest of my life with horrible, terrible sinus trouble and see the grace and the power of God in my life than I had Him take that away from me and not experience that. I mean it. What I'm telling you, you need to embrace that thorn because that thing could very well be the blessing of God for you. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this day. Thank You for letting us be here. Thank You for the Word of God, the truth. Lord, help us to accept it. I know there's people here today that's got real problems, serious things. They live with it every day, and they're hurting, and they're in pain. And Lord, if it's Your will, I pray You'd take it away, and I mean that. I pray You'd take it from them if it's Your will. But if not, I pray You'd help them to embrace the thorn, to rest on Your promise, and to see Your power like never before in their life. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.